Well, take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelations, Revelation chapter 6. And of course, as we're going through the book of Revelation, last week we got back with it, and through the Easter and Palm Sunday we had other specials. But in chapter 6, and if you have an old Scofield, it's on about 1336. And let me read the first two verses just to kind of get our foot in the door. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder on the four beast or living creatures, saying, Come and see. Verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to be conquer. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray that you be with us as we look into thy word. We look as we study through this. We've been through this several times before, but Lord, it seems like things are so close to this today. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do ought to be prepared and preparing others as we take the gospel out to others today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, the seals. And, of course, Revelation 6, 1 through 17. Now, if you weren't here last week, just to kind of speak of this, it's speaking of scrolls. And what we have here is probably the seventh scroll was probably rolled and sealed. I don't know if it was sealed with maybe wax or something like that, or maybe a ribbon-like. But you'd have the seventh one, and then rolled around it would be the sixth and the fifth and the fourth. And, of course, what comes next, I see the third and the second. And then, of course, the first one would be around all of those. And, you know, as you'd unroll one, you'd still have the others rolled up. But in verses 1 and 2, we see the first seal. In verse 3 and 4, we see the second seal. In verses 5 and 6, we see the third seal. And then in 7 and 8, the fourth seal. Verse 9 and 10, we see the fifth seal. And then in the sixth seal, on verses 12 and 17. Now, the first six seals will be seen, and we'll look at this today. But the seventh seal we'll see in chapter 8, verse 1, when the seventh seal will really open up what is next, would be the trumpet judgment. As these seals are opened in heaven by the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be events on earth that will take place. As the tribulation opens, we need to remember our study in Daniel and the 70th weeks of years of Daniel in Daniel 9. 69 of those weeks of years have been completed. And it's a cross where it speaks of Messiah being cut off in Daniel 9:26. It stopped. And of course, there's 7 years left. 1 year, 1 week of years, you might say, it's 7 years, the tribulation period that's left. And when the Antichrist signs the agreement with Israel to give them peace for 7 years in Daniel 9:27. But of course, we all know that halfway through, he's going to go back on his word and, of course, will stop and won't give them peace. Now, some believe, and some scholars look at this as chapter 6 through 9 are the events of the first 3.5 years, chapter 10 to 14, the middle, and chapter 15 through 19 towards the last. And, of course, the last would be the last part of the 3.5 years. Now, others believe that these judgments are really scattered throughout the tribulation. It's not happening, but it's in the first. And you have to think, too, as we remember, when that signed agreement with the Antichrist and the nation of Israel, I don't know if it's with all nations, but if that is be the case, it would probably be more or less these would be happening at different times. But those are the way a lot of people look at separating this. But as we go along, we'll see more about this. Also, we will see as we go through this, the Lord's teaching in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, what we call the Olivet Discourse, that he covers much of this, even when he was on earth, as we go through that Olivet Discourse. But let's look at this. First of all, the first seal. Let me read the first verse once again. "And I saw then the Lamb opening one of the seals, and I heard as it was the noise of the thunder, one of the four beasts or living creatures saying, Come and see." Now, the Lord opens the first seal. Now, one of the living creatures says, And of course, he says, come and see. Now, if you have an old Scofield, you'll see in the margin, it has in there a note, verses 1, 3, 5, and 7, that it says that really the "and see" is not in some of the manuscripts, which would say that really it's not just for him to see, but when he's saying come, he's talking to the ones riding the horse to take place. Well, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference either way that you look at that, but we're going to come and see what's going on here. Now look at verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now the white horse, there have been many differing opinions of who this is. Some have tried to identify this with Christ, and of course in chapter 19, verse 11, but of course it's not. In the 19:11, we see Christ at the end of the tribulation. This is at the very beginning of the tribulation. We also are told the word for crown that's used here is more a victor's crown, as he's getting victory. And of course, in chapter 19, verse 12, related to Christ, it's a crown as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and showing his deity. This is not the Lord. This is surely, as Daniel talks about it in chapter 9, verse 26 and 27 of Daniel, who makes the covenant with the nation of Israel for 7 years, but breaks it halfway through. This is the Antichrist, who of course is Satan's man, and as the name speaks, the word anti can mean imitation, and of course he tries to present himself as Christ, but also he's the enemy of Christ too as well. He's having a bow without arrows, believed to be a dictator as he's gaining control, but at first he's doing it through diplomatic means as he's really one coming on the scene, but later we'll see he'll come out with power when people start rebelling. We will begin bring about a temporary peace to the world and look for a while like everything's fine. And you know, I assure you today, there's probably some people who would sell their soul if we had peace. But of course, it's never going to be a lasting peace. There'll never be a lasting peace until the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. The church has been raptured at this point. And of course, the Holy Spirit of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 through 8, has let go of some of the control. And of course, Antichrist will have, to an extent, to be able to do just what he wants. But of course, there are certain boundaries there, but we'll see all break out at this time. Now notice, secondly, we see the second seal, verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereupon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now this corresponds to Matthew 24, 6 and 7, where the Lord Jesus really predicts this very same thing. And let me read Matthew 24, 6 and 7. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall come against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And of course, as we see this, the red horse speaks of really terror and bloodshed. Here, excuse me, here the red horse of war. In chapter 12, verse 3, we'll see a red dragon. In chapter 17, verse 3, we'll see a red beast. But peace, there'll be no lasting peace, as I said before. There may be a peace for the first 3.5 years that he gives with Israel, but there'll never be peace until the Lord Jesus. There'll be lasting peace when he's on the throne. The Antichrist takes control with a great speaking and diplomatic ways, but it doesn't last. You know, think of really the conservatives and liberals in our government. There's not going to be peace. They're always wanting their own way. And of course, that's just the way mankind is. This proves today that the method of international agreements and diplomatic decisions made will not bring a lasting peace. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 21, the Lord speaks through Isaiah, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And of course, as long as there's wicked people around, that's what you will have. And surely the Antichrist cannot keep everyone happy. And of course, we know right now, as we see the Arabs and others that are with the Arabs over there right now, that are really wanting to destroy Israel. They're not going to be peace with Israel right there for sure. And of course, this goes along with other countries too. The Antichrist will now exchange his bow without arrows for a sword to maintain his control over those who are rebelling against him. They killed one another, and how you can see this taking place. For today we see such hatred, one nation against another nation, and how some will not be satisfied until their enemies are completely destroyed. And of course, that's the case in the East right now, especially between the Arabs and Israel. Now notice the third seal, verse 5 and 6. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast saying, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou that thou hurt not the oil and wine." Now the black horse, and of course this goes along with the same verse I read there in Matthew 24:7. "For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." In the time of war, the price of many things, including food, will go up. Many crops will be destroyed by war, as well as fewer farmers will be planting the crops, for a lot of them will be fighting too. Shortage of food will bring famine, and it's usually accomplished war. And of course, you know, we can see a little of it right now with what's happened in the last few years, how the price of everything has gone up. It will give the thought that the Antichrist will now hold control such as the food supply. And you know, it can be done just as God used Joseph to be the one when Egypt, when they had the famine, to keep the food supply. A measure is believed to be about a quart, and a penny, a denarius, is the wage of the average worker of that day. Wheat is more expensive than barley. As one has said, a loaf of wheat bread would cost a day's wages, while you could buy three loaves of barley and bread for the same price. Now, the wine and oil is a little harder to interpret, but, you know, most people look at this as really the items of the rich. And, you know, even in the times of shortage, those who have money can buy their luxury things that they want. And we see a lot of that really going on in the day we live in. Now notice, fourthly, the fourth seal, verse 7 and 8, first of all. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast, living creature, saying, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and the power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with the hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth." And of course, goes right along with that verse we read first, for the nation, Matthew 24:7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, the pale horse is really, we're told, is a yellowish, light yellowish green, and it speaks of death. Death is associated with the body of hell, and Hades is associated with the soul and spirit. We see 1/4 of the world population will be killed. We see what problems happen today when the catastrophic events take place, but we have not seen nothing yet, for sure. we see four means of death: the sword, violence, war, hunger, famine, death and pestilence, diseases, and wild beasts and animals. Now, the animals will be affected with the food shortage too. And the animals will be able and will probably attack people because for them to sustain themselves. What a horrible time awaits those who reject the gospel and are left as the rapture takes the church away to go through this horrible tribulation. And of course, they put off their salvation and it's too late at this time. Now notice the fifth seal, verses 9 through 11. Let me read verse 9 first, and then we'll read verse 10 and 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, tribulation saints who were killed. Matthew 24:9, Jesus says, verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, there will be many folks that will be saved in the tribulation period, but they're going to pay a tremendous price here. I'm sure this is at the point later on when he's put the mark of the beast that they had to receive to get food and, of course, to be able to continue with their life. But, you know, many will be saved, and many of those folks will lose their life for that very thing. We will see this see that happening today, especially in Muslim countries and all, you know, if you stand up for faith. And, of course, we saw that a lot of times, you know, when we were in those battles over there too. We complain about the least rejected, but we claim today and we complain about the least rejection we get from the lost. Maybe you get made fun of for standing up and talking about the Lord. But we do not know and have any idea what these folks will be going through. Now notice in verse 6 of chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. And they cried with a loud voice. This is the tribulation saints that have gone to heaven after their death. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now their cry, we know today we are told to pray for the persecuted, those that persecute us. But we got to understand there's a different thing. The judgment of God is upon all of this. And God promises that his judgment will come, and we will see it as we draw to the end of this book. God's plan will be carried out and completed. It is not the end as of yet. It is not personal revenge that is taking place, but God is seeking, but it's vengeance for God's holiness and justice, not a matter of whether judgment will come, it's just when it's coming. And it's all in God's timing too. The fifth seal looks to heaven, and those, there'll be many people that will be saved, and many people will lose their life because they know Christ as their Savior. You know, I don't know, as far as I know, everyone here knows Christ as their Savior. But if there happens to be someone that doesn't know him, man, I tell you one thing, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Because if you know Jesus as your Savior, you won't be here. You'll be taken at the rapture. Now notice the sixth seal, verses 12 to 17. Look at verse 12 to 14 first. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell from the unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll, when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. You know, as you look at this, this looks at a catastrophic time. And of course, also Luke brings out the Olivet Discourse. And in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26, let me read that those verses. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken." But you know also, even in the Old Testament, bear with me, and I want to read some Old Testament scripture which speaks of this also. In the book of Joel in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, verse 30 and 31, "And I will show wonders in heaven and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come." Joel 3:15, "The sun and the moon shall be darkened and the stars shall withdraw their shining." Isaiah 13:9-10, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the star of heaven and the consolation there shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in giving forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." In Isaiah 34, verse 2 through 4, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon the nations, and his fury upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. The slain also shall be cast out, and the stink shall come up out of their carcass, and the mountains shall be melted with the blood. And all the host of heaven shall dissolve, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree." You know, as you see that, these are three earthquakes that are mentioned here. We know earthquakes are part of this. In chapter 6, verse 12, chapter 11, verse 13, and chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, there will be earthquakes, but none like we've known before. You know, I've been in an earthquake, but not one that's destroyed like this. I've been in one where it just kind of trembles. You know, when you see an earthquake, when you see things really happening, it can even cause the He-Man to kind of shake. There's nothing you can do but just sit and wait for it to stop. Some have thought that this is the effect of many atomic explosions, and that may be part of it. But it's not really the primic explosion, because they're hiding from God and his judgment. And of course, what we see really is the omnipotent power of God. Now, maybe the little cap guns that we have today and their atomic bombs and all of that, but God is much greater than that, and I think it's really from God, even though it may be wars going on, an atomic war. We see all parts of nature will be affected. And of course, I will tell you, with the entire events taking place, all will be fearful and realize that nothing that man can do can help. And it will even get worse as we go on in our study. Notice verses 15 to 17. "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and the every bondman and every free man hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come." Now, as you read that and you think of that, the wrath of God, notice what they do. They don't repent, nor do they bow to God and cry out for him. Verse 17, who shall be able to stand? They see their position, yet they hide their face from God instead of coming and asking for his mercy. But notice verse 15, that all classes of mankind, rich men, kings, poor men, slaves, none of them would be delivered. And of course, this really proves that just judgment won't bring people to Christ. The heart of mankind is lost, and all they see, they still reject him. But we see the phase we often use. At the foot of the cross is all level ground. No matter whether you're rich, poor, no matter whether you, what your life is, what position you may hold, politician or king or whatever it may be, the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. At the foot of the cross, it's all level ground. But you know, as we kind of think on this, we have looked at the sixth seal, and we'll see a little later on, the next chapter, but the chapter number 8, we will see that seventh seal will be opened. But it really opens up to the next judgment, the judgment of the trumpet judgment, as well as then we'll see the vial judgment, the bowl judgment that will come up as we go on in this. This is just the beginning of what those who are lost and miss the rapture, Revelation 4, and are left for the judgment of God during the tribulation period. What a horrible time. And we wish not that on our worst enemy that they would go through something like this. You may be here today and not know Christ as your personal Savior. And without him, friend, you have hope. You have time to receive him. But you can make the decision which will deliver you from that horrible time of God's judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world. Won't you receive him as your Savior if you don't know him? But you know, it ought to speak to us as Christians. It ought to speak to us as Christians as we see people around us who don't know the Lord, and to be doing everything that we can to get the Word of God and the gospel out, that people might be saved. And not only that, that they would go forward and reach others. And you know, if you're here and you don't know Christ, let me ask you, aren't you tired of your sin? Doesn't satisfy, does it? It just asks for more and more and more. Sin won't ever ask. And you know, that's one reason that keeps so many people from Christ. They love their sin. God wants to change your life. Believers, we will be delivered. But let us be doing the work that God has called us to do, of getting his message out. No one knows the day or the hour. But friend, as you look around the world, not just America, but you look around the world that we see today, friend, you hear the horses getting ready. We don't know the day or the hour, but friend, the thing that we as Christians are looking for is that call from heaven, come up hither. Remember back in chapter 4, that's a picture of the rapture. God is speaking to your heart, whether you be a Christian or maybe you don't know Christ. Won't you make that decision today? Won't you make that decision today? I want to ask us all to bow our head just for a minute. I want to share the gospel with you. We always like to do that because this goes out on the internet too. But Romans 3:23 and Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, the first thing you've got to see is what these people here are not wanting to recognize. You have to realize you're a sinner. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. As was said so often, there's only three that could really pay the sin debt. That had to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It had to be someone who was without sin. And friend, I don't care who you are, and I mean it. I don't mean it to in the wrong way, but I mean it with love. You can't work your way to heaven. And of course, it was chosen that Jesus would take upon a body through the miracle of the virgin birth, very God, very man, who went to the cross and died for us. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He paid the debt. We can't do it. And that's really what God's plan is, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That word belief means to trust, to rely upon. It means when you come to the end of yourself and to realize, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I'm just an old sinner. But I know you died on the cross for me. And right now I put my whole trust in what you did. Your death, burial, and resurrection is payment in full. And if you will, he'll save you. But you know, it ought to speak to you and I as Christians. Are we living for him? Are we allowing sin to keep us from being the testimony that we ought to be? Are we using what we have to win others? Maybe God's speaking to your heart today. I'm going to be quiet for just a few moments. And if you feel led to come forward, if I can pray with you and help you, I'd love to do that. Or maybe right now, just spend a few moments and think about this. And then we'll close in prayer.